Dougie McCall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. The most gratifying thing a radio evangelist of backyard chickening like me can hear is, "Bucky, I've been wavering on whether or not to get chickens, but your show was the final bit of inspiration and problem-solving I needed to finally make the leap. Now that I've been raising chickens a while, I wonder why it took me so long to get started. I can't remember what I was so afraid of, because I've been having such a good time, and I owe it all to you." I'm honored to have heard that quite a few times now, and I'm just as honored to hear folks say they were already chickeners before they heard the show, and yet they still look forward to the broadcast, because they enjoy the camaraderie of sharing experiences through the magic of radio and internet. And I'm both pleased and amazed to find out how many people follow the broadcast and other chicken-focused media. Some chicken experts and infotainment providers may sound less politicized or anti-corporate than me, but I suspect deep down we all share the same vision. And that's why I never hesitate, in my shows or in my chicken talks, to refer folks to as many other information sources as possible. I know I don't have all the answers. I especially know that every climate, local culture, and individual situation is different. Chickening takes an ability to improvise, to be resourceful, and to problem solve. And the best way to do that is to have a broader range of information as possible. Pretty much every other chickener out there is sharing decent information, and I respect anyone who works toward true free-range philosophies and against crowded conditions, substandard feeding, cruel slaughter, and other elements of factory farming. However, within that set of people, I do differ on certain finer points of chickening protocol. Today I'm going to editorialize on one area where I often diverge from the backyard chickening consensus: naming chickens. Many folks advise against naming chickens, and I advise for it. To be fair, I'll briefly go over the reasons why some experienced chickeners will tell newer chickeners to resist the temptation to name their chicks. The arguments go, chickens are working animals, not pets. They're not human. You may decide to eat them, and they will definitely be exposed to predators. You don't want to be distracted from your mission of a productive operation, and you don't want a broken heart when your chickens inevitably die. Now, first of all, I have to say that never killing your chickens for meat or because they don't lay the retail value in eggs that you're spending on feed, and letting them live out their bug and weed controlling, soil tilling, fertilizer producing, and compost accelerating lives may put you closer to the pet end of the pet to agriculture spectrum, but there's no shame in that. They're the most sustainable pet I can think of. Not to mention the particular mental health benefits of the calming effect of being around chickens that city dwellers invariably rave about. Still, do you want to get overly attached? I have to confess that the main thing that delayed my decision to raise chickens was my fear of emotional baggage and a broken heart. I'd already been through enough of that with indoor mammal pets, dogs, cats, and ferrets, and I didn't want to go expose myself to any more. But I reconsidered the age-old wisdom that to have a chance at any kind of happiness, you always have to let yourself be open to a broken heart. I think most of us humans have a tough time sticking to that kind of courage, but chickening is one of the things that taught me that getting your heart broke is not only inevitable, but also necessary. More on that in a minute. But first, I want to talk about my main reason for naming chickens. In a farm situation, even a backyard micro-farm situation, everyone on the team had better know each other really well. On an integrated farm, chickens are not just organic machines. They're partners in the truest sense of the word. How you feed, where you pasture, where you fertilize, how you rotate, how you cope with the changes that come not only with every season, but also from year to year, with all the crazy shifts in fate that are just as much a piece of farming as hard work, is all stuff you share with your chicken partners. If you name each one of those partners, you'll be much better at observing their special skills, whether they be beneficial skills like bug eating or troublesome ones like breaking and entering into vegetable gardens, which allows you to be a competent supervisor. You'll also be better at observing behavior changes that signal potential disease outbreaks or the formation of bad social habits, such as flock-wide egg eating or excessive fighting, and be able to intervene early and do damage control. For the human mind, naming is part and parcel of observing and interacting. Will naming then make it difficult to deal with the loss of chickens who were picked off by predators or who you decide to slaughter for food? Yes, it will. A friend of mine from Idaho told me the story of his father who raised lambs sustainably on his subsistence farm in rural Idaho. The friend was visiting and witnessed his father sobbing hard while he butchered a beloved lamb that he had recently slaughtered. He ended the animal's life as humanely as he knew how, but he was becoming so emotional during the unavoidably gruesome act of butchering that he had to stop working periodically, lest he hurt himself. If he had decided to keep every animal he had affection for, he would probably not be able to continue farming without finding outside income to provide for all his new pet livestock. I'm sure an argument exists that this farmer could have found other methods of sustainable farming than having animals around. I won't comment either way, because I support anyone who strives for sustainable and humane farming, as this man did. My point in this story is that small farmers working before the advent of factory agriculture have always had attachment to the livestock that work side by side with them. Indeed, one of the things that we've lost in modern food production is the great and ancient tradition of cultivation and harvesting that incorporates a connection to one's previously living food. Everyone, from pilgrims to Native Americans, had some form of giving thanks to the animals who died so they might live. In the Bucky Bacaw agenda, that is preferable to having all the difficulties hidden from you, because what happens to your food is still your responsibility, whether you have to face it or not. And if you think you're successfully avoiding responsibility, just wait until the day avian flu, or hormones from your meat, or arsenic and other pollutants from the field upwind or upstream from you make their way to your door. Which they will, sooner or later, if factory farming continues and expands. A healthy dose of guilt, or at least sense of responsibility, also helps ensure you really need that food, a great way to prevent waste, and ensure against obesity from overeating. And of course, raising your own food rather than relying on factory farming is a huge step, maybe even most of the way, in the right direction. But in my mind, avoiding naming your chickens is a step towards a slippery slope of denial that brings us to factory farming. Finally, it only seems fair to know your chickens, since after all, they know you. Many in the anti-naming camp will talk about how we shouldn't anthropomorphize animals, attributing human qualities to non-humans. But the plain, in-your-face truth is, animals really do share some, or all, of our own traits and skills. For instance, numerous studies have shown that chickens can recognize up to 100 distinct individual chickens, and know the difference between individual animals of other species as well. Furthermore, in my own observation, chickens have some form of language, or at least a vocabulary. They have distinct clucks and crows for danger, food, and coop competition. The clucks vary from adult to chick, hen to rooster, and between individual pairs. It stands to reason they have a name for you. I never figured out what the bacaw flocks calls me, but maybe that's because they call me that behind my back. The reason even to have to warn people off a name in their hens is that it's most people's natural inclination to name their chickens. Even if the name is that red-tipped wing one, or something morbid and self-incriminating like dinner, hearty har har. Most of us start out naming our toes and grow up to love naming pets and giving our friends and lovers nicknames. Personally, it brings delight to my chickening to have the opportunity to say words like Veselka and Wojciech, Penny, Deary, or Esmeralda every day. And I feel it brings me good luck to refer to my chickens with the names of natural pesticides like Neem and Pilu. So why should you deny your human name-loving nature any more than you, as a backyard chickener, opposed to factory farming, would deny chickens their free-pecking, good-eating nature? Don't listen to me, but don't listen to the chicken-naming naysayers either. Listen to yourself, and go ahead and name those chickens, and have a good time. This has been Bucky Bacaw with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. Bucky, Bucky Bacaw.